RSE Radio!
You are about to embark upon a fascinating adventure into well-being, a journey which will leave you with a lifetime method for gaining unequaled health of body and mind and the sense of a new life.
There is an ideal
blocks the only chance for change. When I expand my range, the world stands and judges. Don't think music defines my character. These songs ain't me, they're just documentation of momentary thoughts. Nothing set in stone just because it's sold and bought. Your expectations in the category of placement, but a renaissance man sits nowhere in particular. Every seat is vacant to a songwriter, comedian, method actor, author, MC, carpenter, producer, engineer, issue talker, hustler, musician, architect, businessman, student of the scene, and human being. If you give a damn, no matter what side you see, it's just one side. No matter how much you think it means, it's just one side. My depth is only as shallow as time and spaces. This is just one of my many eternally changing.
The artist does not himself necessarily agree with the opinions and beliefs expressed in the following text. Any and or all statements regarding truth, reality, God, etc. should be viewed as narrative contrived by the artist for entertainment purposes only. The artist hereby disavows his own personal responsibility for any paranormal activity related to the listening of this album. The listener listens at his own risk and will hopefully have a safe yet fun and expansive trip. The characters in this album are very real and reside inside the space-time continuum known as the artist's head. The artist solemnly guarantees that you will love them in addition to the assurance that the music is taken.
RSC Radio. Only here, KFAI Fresh Air, Community Radio 90.3 FM Minneapolis, 106.7 FM St. Paul, and online at www.kfai.org. Radio Without Boundaries. I don't know how I'm gonna do this.
I don't know what to say, man.
So, for those tuning in that don't know, we lost a dear friend this past week. Michael, Idea Larson, Mikey to me.
Mikey to me.
You know, I was doing cool until I had this idea of doing this show. So, we're gonna try and not make it too emotional. And try and reminisce.
We got a lot of good music to play on this show. He left us with more than enough of that. And we're going to have some callers, some friends of his calling from around the world to shout him out. And, you know, to give some memories, you know, talk about some of the good times, talk about some of the laughs. Basically, tonight we're having a celebration of Idea on RSC Radio.
Yes. I'm not one for words most times. Down at the radio show, I'm usually okay. But, tonight's going to be challenging. But we want you guys to, hopefully, you'll have some fun with this. That is our intent. To try and remember our friend. And, celebrate some of his music. Obviously, we can't even begin to try and... encompass everything that Mike did while he was here musically in one show. So we're going to try and cover, you know, a piece of it. And like Sean said, we'll have some callers, people that knew Mikey well. And we got Slug in the house, Kevin Beecham in the house, Felipe Quadley, Leif, Sky, Bird, Zeke. And I believe we'll have a few other people stopping through, you know, sharing memories and just reminiscing. So we'll be back in a second as we kind of get things together here. And if you're listening online and you've got a memory or you had an experience with Mike that you'd like to share with us, feel free to hit us up on Twitter at RSC Radio, or you can hit us up at Facebook, facebook.com/RSC Radio, or you can email us at radio@ronsayers.com.
Share your stories. Mikey, if you're listening, man, hit that pause button on that tape recorder. Start recording right now.
All right, y'all. We'll be back in a second.
have the answers.
I wish I had the answers.
I know you have the answers.
I severely feel like I don't know. I severely feel like I'm so froze. Severely feel like I should severely feel. When I can get out of that early, clearly eerie field. And let your ears just peel. She probably missed the first one. Missed the first one. But still it was the first one. That real person. To see another person as a person. And when other people don't see you as such, I know the feeling is naturally hurt. And it's okay. It's okay. You're not alone, you're not alone. The wind doesn't blow that way. Cause from where I stay, the wind blows us away from the rest and together. So we can put ourselves on display for the world. So we can say this is major, this is secret, this is deep-ish. This is not much, just a weekend favor. This is real, this is something that'll last much longer. Something that's so much later, something that's so much stronger. Something that's conquered the monsters that live inside the circuitry and wiry. So purposely you hired me to first see what water was spilt, what daughter had guilt because she wasn't loved right. What sunshine never really feels lovely. Where do we take ourselves? Where do we carry ourselves? Embrace ourselves before we break our health. Cause the only thing we're looking at is the scraping, melting trees that are scathing, bathing in the dissected, unprotected, corrective scathing that we're all losing. We're bruising the inside of our teeth, fighting on the same thing. But I'm here to rip your jaws open even when they're clenched tight. I'm here to shed tears, I'm here to stay up all night. I'm here, and I'll never leave, I'll never leave you, I'll never leave you, I'll never leave you. I'll always believe you, I'll always believe you. So put the bee in front of it. Put the bumblebee for the birds and the bees that I guess naturally are running this emotional, chemical imbalance that we have. But it's all I have, so I'm glad. And one day I'll be a dad, and we'll walk and the shadows won't seem that deep. The shadows won't come up when we're asleep. The shadows won't weep for me no more, cause I'm leaving all the graveyards behind. And I'm polishing up my mind, and I'm leaving you with one thing to know. I'm yours, you're mine, and if the world doesn't know, that's fine. We decide.
So, y'all are gonna have to bear with us a little bit because, obviously, I wasn't expecting to do a show like this week. So, we're winging a lot of things and just trying to make it happen. So bear with us. But Zeke, can you is that red? Just push it. You there, Ali? Hello?
Yeah.
All right, I just want to make sure you're there.
What's up, brother?
Hey, man.
Hey, Chris, if you want headphones, there should be headphones around here if you want them. So, you tomorrow. So, like I said, we're just trying to find some solace in, having friends and loved ones around us at this time. And remember Mikey this evening. For myself, you know, I met Mike when he was probably about 14. I believe it was 95, 96. And he and Abilities, also whom I just spoke with before the show, and he sent his love to everybody and wanted to make sure everybody knew that he truly appreciates all the love and support that everybody has been sending out to him, and that he wished he could be here. So it was what, 95, 96, and they were called Sixth Sense at the time. I think it was, wasn't it you, Phil?
What's that? That brought him by?
Yeah.
Yep.
He was, wasn't it at the
Hip Hop Olympics?
Was it at the Hip Hop Olympics or was it at the wasn't it at that theater on Franklin? Wasn't it a show at
that spot on Franklin?
Yeah. For some reason I feel it was there, but it was dark. I remember it was dark. And
they did the Monster Inside Me.
This is before Monster Inside.
Yeah, this was before that. No, this is before they had done anything. And you were like, yo, you gotta check these dudes out. Now they're dope. And at that time, he was spending a lot of time around Seth.
Yep.
And was soaking up a lot from him. And I remember it being super dark in this place and going and talking to him and Max and just being like, so y'all want to be down?
was you Shug Lighten?
Yeah, I wasn't.
You Shug Lighten.
Because at that time, it wasn't anything. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Like,
this was Headshot's time. We didn't know
like
what we
gang.
Were doing.
Yeah, like
it was. It was like a gang that didn't fight.
With the group.
Yeah, that wasn't violent.
You don't get a couple of tattoos.
Didn't serve. The look in their faces and everything is like so embedded in my head right now, but it was funny because that, and then so our initiation was like, I was like, all right, cool, yeah, y'all could be down, and that was like, it had to been not too far ahead of 97 sound set 97, and we were like, yeah, we'll put you on a sound set, and this was the first sound set we ever did in a crazy warehouse. It was like a hip-hop rave, basically. It was when raves were big, and we was like, yo, let's do a hip-hop rave.
What do you mean, when raves were big?
Are they still big? I don't know. Maybe I just got old, and I don't know that they're big anymore. But they were big then. And so we were like, yeah, let's get every hip-hop act in the city, and we'll do, like, you know, 8 hours, 9 hours. Like, it went from, like, what, 8? To like 6 in the morning or something.
It's 10 hours of rap music.
And we put them on last. They went on when the sun was coming.
They were very, very last.
They went on literally last.
And they hung out.
And they were there for the entire time. And they went on last. And I was like, oh, okay, these dudes are in. Like, these dudes are troopers. Like, they were there the whole time. And I'm saying they were like, what, 14 and 16? 15 and 17 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
15 and 17.
And they literally played last at like 5, 6 a.m. All I know is the sun was coming up and they played. And from that moment, they did their thing too.
They did their thing.
Like it was 10 o'clock and there was a crazy crowd there.
I mean, there was still a crazy crowd there. There was people that stuck through for that whole show. I remember him spinning on his head with his thick neck.
That's what I was gonna say. Not only did he rap, he was breaking the whole time too.
He was one of the first battle cats, right?
Yeah.
With his thick neck spinning on his head, he was the dude that had the head spin. Man.
Well, let's.
In the Adidas pants, he wore those things for 15 years.
And then wore the Adidas shoes.
For
another 10. Yep. All right, let's do this. Let's play some Sixth Sense. This was the first track that they did, and this kind of just reinforced it even more because, you know, I was so impressed with them at that age because even like we were working on Headshot 6.
Oh, are you gonna play the one off
Industrial
the
Warfare?
Gotcha.
And I was like, and they were like, yo, can we get on? And I was like, I don't know, man. You know, I was like, y'all got a song? I was like, get me a song. And the funny thing is, how long had y'all been down?
At that point?
Yeah.
Two, three years already.
Los
Nativos couldn't come up with a song. but IdentAbilities not only came up with a song, but for the time and
that was a fresh
and
song.
How old they were. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, even Monster Inside Me was killing.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
But like they came back with a song hella quick and hella dope.
Oh, they were like, oh, we got one. We'll be right back. Let's go record this.
Which is just hilarious to me because Los Nacho Hijos, there's no reason y'all should be on there. And we had to figure out a way to fit Phil even on it with a freestyle with Mikey.
With Mikey. Because at that 7th Street show,
that was the only way we could get him on.
Open up with us. Yep.
So let's do this. We're going to play.
Before you play it, I'm just saying everything that's being said, and we're all in this room nodding, and we can all agree that it speaks and attests to the drive that he had and his partner Max had. But it was a drive that never went away, you know? And this is just a 2-hour show, so we're not going to be able to necessarily show you everything. But just know that this kid came into the game ready to just work and murder it and do it, and he did it. He really did do it. You know, it's like there's legends out there that are still trying to make music that aren't coming anywhere near close to what this dude did in the time that he spent here. So let's go ahead and roll this for him, man.
To rip it infinite. The lyrics you pick are crumbs and bits of gibberish. No wonder kids ain't interested. You run, your rubber lips are split. Your heads, you mumble under your breath. But it's just you said, cause you're scared of death. I'm crumbling you and the other dozen men who wasn't meant to be true. Now I'ma take you to rhyming school. Time is due for the perfect tune to shine like jewels on surface. That's when you merge the earth, ships crash. Quick flash, blind your crew, your spine is blue from whiplash. Minus two out of proportion, forcing that flash near the high bass. So you can't see me like that snake in high grass. I'm a real b-boy, this year I write rhymes with itching. Class. If you a heavyweight, you best to check your mass. I defy the laws of gravity and actually act like cavities and crack your teeth fast. Heat rashes are left on your chest. What? Just think, if you wouldn't have stepped to me, you wouldn't have to expect your death. Up here, rest in Minnesota Midwest. I'm an unstoppable engine beyond comprehension, wrenching all 7 continents. Respond to this consciousness, but be cautious. You're nauseous and nervous when I rip. There's a purpose, you're all my ish quick. Get off and I split pick advances from the entrance to the stage. I'm enraged, now you're defenseless when I engage in a sentence. Everyone's got techniques, it's just that we becoming colder. The level of your abilities is in the idea of the beholder. Everyone's got techniques, it's just that we becoming colder. My idea of abilities is two hip-hop controllers. My voice caused distortion, so forget static, cause over-rhythmatic patterns, I'm fatter than any Jenny Craig patient. It's time for late breaking your brains, making a skull evacuation. Due to your dull imagination, your creations are petty, sweaty, your faces. I break it for basic inspiration. Get ready for mental penetration. As increased acceleration leaves you aching. I speak poetically amazing phrases engraved in pages that's kept sacred. I sweat faces off heads that are left tasting the cases. I'm sad, but with undeveloped faintness that makes you flow. Face it from a window to the fat laces on my toes. I'm bodacious, so hope, shake it, lay it on me. My pupils are dilated. A zombie boy, my song destroys all these toys that try to make it. The high inflated skills while you're chilled at your crib and masturbated. My technique is ancient, but you don't have the patience to absorb it. You were born to mistake it. You best to forfeit. I'm bored with these MCs rank lower than court just a replacement. That's techniques. Everyone's got techniques, it's just that we becoming colder. The level of your abilities is in the idea of the beholder, man. Everyone's got techniques, it's just that we becoming colder. My idea of abilities is to hip-hop controllers. You see, I eat MCs easily, EYE can be the best. Eat the flesh of peeps who test, leave the heads with indentations. You're facing death, let me lead your steps. I made a bet you'd be impressed. Now check my pen, connect the Bible that holds my whole ethical scriptures. Touch it, get busted blisters, I insist to wreck. Get your neck crushed from crisper text, complex technique. Direct weaker-minded rhymes and keep it on for infinity. Man, fuck what you heard, my words hit vividly. Leave a MC shook like I just took his virginity. We's the evolution, man, B-boys filtering hip-hop's pollution. Dropping proofs and you can't stop the fluidness of these two true new kids who do this with precision. Listen, I'm digging your brain through pain, affliction, over rhythm. To me it's slow even though I know I'm flipping. Twisting a language, you tripping some strange. Thinking that you can hang with the EYE to the DEA. With that B-O-I-ology that I always will stay. Embedded in my thought process, I progress every day. To put it straight, don't give a hope what you got to say. Ha-ha.
ID and Abilities, Technique. That was featured on the Industrial Warfare Headshot 6 tape and was the first track that they ever brought to the family. And the funny thing too, like when I heard this, I was like, oh yeah, these dudes are definitely in. I was like, because this was about the most, you know, I mean, it was pretty advanced, you know, for that time and for their age and everything.
Well,
and
it was, you know, I mean, everybody around here, we're all still rapping like Smith and Wesson. You know what I mean? We're all still, and here he was influenced by a lot of West Coast, as well as a lot of his own, as well as Sess. You know, he bounced on the scene and everybody had to take notice. You know what I mean? There was no way around it, you know? And obviously we took notice, but, you know, we weren't the only ones. It really spread. And I mean, you know, I don't even know what else to say about that.
Man, first time I heard that dude rap, we did this thing with Battle Cats, and I didn't even know he rapped. And we had this thing, we opened for Jam on the Groove, which was all rock steady, like the legends to us, right, as far as that. And Mr. Wiggles comes out back, like, who are these dudes that were breaking? I heard they were fresh. So we went out back, he comes out back, we start talking about hip-hop in Minnesota, whatever. He starts rapping, and everybody's like, oh, man, Mr. Wiggles can rap. Man, Mikey opened his mouth, we have it on video, and you just see Wiggles' face, like, his whole facial expression was like,
shook.
Yeah, well, I don't really get down like that, but, dude, I'll never forget that. And I was like, dude, like, all these dudes were like, nah, I'm telling you, man, this dude can rap. And I'll just never forget Mr. Wiggles' face. Like, that was a legend to us, and then just to watch him just turn around and be like, well, yeah, I really don't get down like that. Yeah. That's just how that dude was from jump.
I mean, it was just, it goes back to that drive. He had that drive to be a fresh dancer. He had that drive to be a fresh rapper, you know, and he kept it going from there. And he just continued to find new things to have drive towards, you know, and that is really rare out here. You know what I'm saying? That's really rare anywhere. But for somebody to just go, okay, you know what I'm going to try next? I'm going to go and do that. You know what I'm going to try next? I'm going to go and do that. At that age, you know, that's something that you get to do once you finally got it all figured out when you're in your mid-40s. You're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to pick up a piano and learn how to play. I'm going to paint. Now, this was a dude that was Renaissance. He was doing it all at that young age. You know, I was lucky, obviously, you know, me and Bird got to travel a lot with these guys. And, you know, early on, I will say this, man, that dude taught me how important practicing was. And it's not like he set me down and taught me, but it's just like together, we enjoyed rapping so much that we would get together to practice for the sake of practicing, for the sake of rapping. And you know, just the importance of it and the importance of staying in touch with what you're doing. You know, obviously that's something I'll know forever, but back then, not so much. You know what I'm saying? Back then, I was still kind of slow on the show and I was still kind of figuring it out. And I'm lucky, man. I got to figure it out with that guy.
We used to do game night at the Fifth Element, and just to show like how much he enjoyed it. It wasn't open to the public. It was just us as rappers in Fifth Element after hours rapping for the sake of becoming better. You know what I'm saying? And it wouldn't just be like regular rap. It'd be like, all right now we're going to do syllables.
I mean,
two syllable rap rhymes. And you know, it's just that's what that, who that dude was.
I mean, he was truly a fearless artist. Like, he didn't care.
No, he was dedicated.
He was going to go whatever direction.
He was dedicated to his art. He was dedicated to what he felt. He was dedicated into no restriction over what he feels like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I just, you know, it's funny because, you know, after, you know, Techniques and Monster Inside and those kind of songs came, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I was like, we got like a couple of young B-boys that are going to be wrecking stuff, you know, on some like some serious hip hop stuff. And then Firstborn came.
Totally flipped it.
And I'm saying that's been quintessential ID and Abilities, Mike, from day one.
I mean, it's solidified. It's like, it solidified so much.
We did it.
When they made that record,
we mastered it.
You know what?
When now move on.
When yep, exactly. And when they made that record, it solidified. You know, in this, I might sound arrogant when I say this, but it totally solidified the Twin Cities movement and what was going on in independent rap at that time. You know, it was kind of like you had a couple of us doing the things that we did, whatever. But when you had these two younger guys who were actually hungry coming out the box and bringing you pulp rather than bringing you a bunch of Baby Ruth's and Almond Joy's, which was what, at that age, they should have been doing. They were coming with the pulp. And that was like, you know what? Even the youth are on this movement. And it was just, it was a rap. That was, you know, that was a big part of what put Minneapolis and St. Paul on the map, was that movement right there.
No, even as an outsider, because, like, I first heard him from Techniques. And then when I heard that on the tape, and I was like, yo, these kids are crazy. And I thought on the radio, just playing like crazy on Time Travel, great feedback on the show back in Chicago. Just like, and that right there, from there, then, like, you know, then his battle record, he just built up a crazy, like, fan base in Chicago, you know, still there, you know. So, like, same thing, just that hungry. And then he flipped it, like I said, like, with the whole battle songs and then the concepts. He almost had, like, two different fan bases that, like, would merge and, you know, just, it was crazy, yeah.
I had one of the West Coast brothers that, you know, is known for the whole movement and the style and being part of Project Blow, tell me, you know, they knew what was going on over here. They recognized who we were. But when they started to catch him do his thing,
yeah, he was like the first
then,
one.
Then that, yeah, that gave us the credibility we needed to be, you know, to be considered. Nah, these dudes can style. These dudes can.
So basically,
you know,
basically the dudes from Blowed were finally like, all right, we'll pay attention to what's going on
yeah,
out there.
After,
hey, real quick, I believe we got a caller on the line. You there?
He's calling from New Zealand. Hey, can you hear us?
Can you hear me? I'm calling from Wellington, New Zealand.
Wellington, New Zealand. Why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Sage Francis, and I'm just kind of, I wanted to touch base with the homies, man. Yeah, I don't know. I hear you guys talking and still something crazy. I'm trying to accept what's going on. I just want to give my love and just total love to everybody and remembrance of what Mikey did and what he meant to everybody.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Would you happen to have any anecdotes or great memories, times that you can remember that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I just spent the last 5 days running through my memory of all the stuff that we shared and just the stupid times together. In particular, the tour that we did, the Fill in the Blanks tour, which I think was in 2001. And
I think you're right.
Just
that was
his
fall of
crazy energy and his constant, like, need to joke around and
oh, it looks like we lost Sage, or we lost New Zealand. Sage, call us back. Leif, why don't you hit him on the Twitter and tell him to call us back? And we're sorry that Zeke accidentally hung up on him. We got a few more people that have joined us in the room. I'd like to say what's up. POS, how you doing? Christoph Crane, how you doing, man? Thanks for coming down, you guys. Well, you know what? I'll pick it up where Sage left off. And since he mentioned the Fill in the Blanks tour, I guess I'll just grab it right there. This was a tour that had Sage and Shalem B and Abilities and Idea and myself, Mr. Dibs. And I remember on this particular tour, Sage went first, ID and Abilities went second, and then, you know, we batted third. And I sternly remember the competition that was going on every night as far as trying to kill the crowd between Sage and Idea. Every single night, Sage would come out and really just try to go in, and then Idea would have to come out and go that extra hard. And it was one of the most probably energetic tours that I've ever actually taken part of, because it wasn't just a bunch of rappers who rap too fast, but it was also, you know, we were diving into crowds, we were, you know, jumping on bars, we were like, we were really all trying to outdo each other, not just on the scale of impressing the audience, but really just on the scale of just who's going to come up with the craziest stuff. And I remember in the middle of that tour, Idea had to leave the tour to get on a plane to go out to the Blaze battle. And we all finished the drive to get out there because we couldn't afford to fly us all, you know. And we get there, and I distinctly remember after that battle, we were all just kind of like, well, that's the end of the competition. This dude kind of took it. It's kind of over. You know, the rest of the tour, we just kind of rolled. Man, you remember that time that I hit the deer? On our way, Bird was there. One time we were outside of Atlanta driving, and everybody was asleep but me, and I'm the one driving. And here I go, and bam, hit a deer, wrecked the minivan, pulled over. Everybody gets out. Everybody's like, are you okay? Or actually, it's me and Bird. Max and Mikey get out going, man, you screamed like a little girl when you hit the deer. Oh, man. They wouldn't let me live that down, man. I did scream like a little girl when I hit that deer. But it wasn't because of the deer. It was because I was scared.
I told him it was the deer.
Did you tell him that I was screaming for the deer?
I think we got Sage back.
Sage.
You there, Sage?
Hey, I think I just talked to myself for about 5 minutes.
Sorry, man. I think Ali's there with us too, right?
Ali, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Sage, can you guys hear each other?
Please finish your story, because we definitely lost you.
I don't know where I was left off. You were Bird is there, right?
Yes, he's here.
Bird's here. You had just finished telling us we were all on the Fill in the Blanks tour together.
Yeah, all right. Well, I don't know. That thought is gone now. On the Fill in the Blanks tour, we did that whole tour, and Mikey only took 2 showers the whole time. And I remember that was a matter of contention for Bird, and Bird would continually insist that Mikey take a shower.
But do you remember why he wouldn't?
The reason why he wouldn't.
No, do you remember why he wouldn't take the shower?
No, I can't remember why. I don't even think he gave a reason.
He did. It was his theory on how to not get sick on tour.
Yeah, not to get sick.
He was keeping all his bacteria because that was what was keeping him from catching other people's bacteria.
Yep.
Oh, shoot. I guess that's great.
Works. Max had the vitamins. Max used to bring a big old bag of vitamins. Yeah, health bag. It was like a duffel bag full of vitamins.
No, it was a suitcase called the health bag.
And then Mikey wouldn't shower. But that was the real deal. That's how they never got sick on the road.
And they worked out every day. Got up and ran in the morning.
Yeah, that dude loved to
do
that.
I guess I just caught up in the whole idea that this dude could go so long without a shower. And I was impressed because I'm not the cleanliest of cats.
I mean, yeah, that means a lot coming from you, Sage.
Yeah, your stuff was all over the van.
Yeah.
You remember that.
That was definitely some of the best times of my whole life. And I'm just really, really glad I was able to share it with you guys. Of course, Mikey included. Miss him incredibly. And I just wish you guys all the strength. And I look forward to seeing you guys again.
Well, thank you very much, Sage.
Thank you, Sage, for calling.
Hey, by the way, we love you back, man. We really appreciate you calling in. That means a lot to us.
Be safe in the future.
Take care, man.
So let's do this. Why don't we play the first thing that Mikey did with Sage on the Sick of Waging War?
Was that the?
It was called Embarrassed.
Embarrassed.
Yeah. So we're gonna get into that. Embarrassed, featuring Idea, Slug, and Sage Francis.
I think it's probably good to mention too that Idea actually produced this song too, the one that you're about to play.
When did you guys record this?
Oh man, this must have been 2002. I'm gonna take a wild guess. It's around the same time I think that we did the Orphanage stuff as well.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. At that time, I don't think a lot of people realized he did do production and was involved with the Idea and Abilities production. And Oliver Hart was really his kind of coming out party as a producer, which he produced.
Fresh.
And recorded, engineered, mixed, mastered everything himself of that album. So here we go, Embarrassed featuring Idea, Slug, and Sage Francis.
Look at me for a second. No, serious. Look at me. Honestly, ask yourself, do you really think that there is any way possible for you to embarrass me? Look at me. Do you really
I'm embarrassed by my past actions and even more ashamed by my present thoughts and future endeavors to clear my name. I'm embarrassed by my past actions and even more ashamed by my present thoughts and future endeavors to clear my name.
I'm embarrassed. Why? I'm embarrassing. Why? I'm in embarrassment. Why? And it's all adding up. I'm embarrassed. Why? I'm embarrassing. Why? I'm in embarrassment. Why? And it's all adding up. So reoccupied with self-indulgency to see what you provided me. I fully appreciate your offering. The awful things in life are lesson, but lessons of self-acceptance. I'm a best and I regret keeping a distance. For future reference, over bridges are preventable. I know the tribes. Humanity as a whole, it will collide. Now close the gap. Dwell on what we share. What separates us? We're all different, but what makes us a unit? Music is a universal language, so is anguish, pain, and torment. Balance of emotions, it shows our happiness have a bonus. No one picking sides. One without the other is impossible.
Forget what I was supposed to say.
They call it bipolar. Unstable conditions, they got me looking over my shoulder. The book that I wrote, it was meant to move the time slower, but it was still cooking my mind's motor. Now I'm older. I'm embarrassed by my past actions and even more ashamed by my present thoughts and future endeavors to claim a name. Embarrassed by my past actions and even more ashamed by my present thoughts and future endeavors of future name.
I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassing. I'm in embarrassment and it's all adding up. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassing. I'm in embarrassment and it's all adding up. It was in the cards that I'm to be forever haunted. Hip hop is slowly but surely becoming the big brother I never wanted. Hold me but hurt me. Purely demonic. Still my head is astonished with sonics, aesthetics, poetics, and honest, I'm polished. Rhetoric, everything as its negative conscious, consciously edit, constantly get rid of the rigorous repetitive movements embedded in you. Sense it's easier to talk to you about it than to do it. Here I am, center of the spotlight. They all drunk and smiling, waiting for the cockfight. Time to entertain since the clock of life. So I became the freak you can't help staring at, even though you know it's not right. Embarrassment sits in between insecurity and arrogance. I'm a machine with a clarity I can barely grip. So if I seem red in the face, it's not because I feel out of place. It's just that I'm embarrassed by my past actions and even more ashamed by my present thoughts and future endeavors to clear my name. Embarrassed by my past actions and even more ashamed by my present thoughts and future endeavors to kill the breakdown.
And I could yell all day, all night, all day. I still doubt that you would hear a word I say. And I could drive all night, all day, all night. But if you stay with me, you'll never get it right. And I could yell all day, all night, all day. I still doubt that you would hear a word I say. And I could drive all night, all day, all night. But if you stay with me, you'll never get it right.
I was never much for the self-driven skepticism. I was that cat that let distraction affect my vision. You were the kitten that was screaming to cover up the sound of landing or crashing. However, it was going down. But it's going down, it's going fast. And I have no doubts about whether or not it's gonna last. Fill the glass, tilt your head back. Let it trickle through the throat to where you hide your giggles and your laughs. I'll wait to find the correct departure time. Shine my eyes to keep the lock from climbing up inside the mind. Some belong to you, some belong to me. But none of them escape the contemplation necessary. You can't scare me, but you can keep it buried.
Yeah, yeah, that's enough. Circle, that's enough.
Me. And now that I sing all of my songs,
that's enough.
That's good.
So I believe we have another caller on.
212.
You guys there?
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Right on, man. How you doing? Why don't you introduce yourself?
Evidence Dilated People's checking in.
Thank you for calling, man.
No, thank you all for Let me have a little chance to speak. I'm out here in Australia right now.
Yeah, that's what I heard. You're out there in the future right now.
Yeah, a little ahead of the future.
All right.
19 hours ahead.
All right.
Yeah, it's been a crazy time with this one. This is an interesting thing. This is an interesting thing right here.
Why don't you elaborate?
First and foremost is, you know, send out love to everybody. A lot of people really, you know, we're obviously had a unique relationship with this guy, and idea was like funny. The more I'm starting to hear about it, it seems like everybody was kind of like really good friends with him in their own way. I think he, when you're a powerful person, I think a lot of people who are drawn to you feel like they're your best friend. You know, like that's the power of a human being like that, where everyone's like had their own special relationship, and I've been able to identify that with, like, when I lost AM. Was a really good friend of mine. I ran into the same thing where it was like a lot of people were telling me stories and just relationships they had with this person different in the way that I did. And Idea wasn't a person that you know, I hung out with all the time or whatever. He was a contemporary of mine and somebody on the same struggle who we'd done shows with in the past and just coming up through passing, but somebody I really respected, being from the West Coast, being on the underground, you know, just KXLU, Mike Nardone, coming up off that scene. Mike was the first person to really put me up on Idea and like, yo, Ev, I think you're going to like this. Let me check this out. When I did, I was kind of blown back. Like, well, this is being from Dilated, we always had one foot in kind of every scene. We were down with, you know, Good Life. We were down with Soul Assassins, down with Liquid Crew, down with all the different, you know, scenes of Los Angeles, which really kept me balanced, and as a fan especially. And just being on Rock the Bells with him, you know, last summer, and having the chance to really build with him on a day-to-day basis, kind of hit home when I heard about this, because it was like the beginning of a friendship.
Thank you, man. You got any, in the amount of time you got to spend with him, did you come upon any, like, anecdotes or funny memories or beautiful memories or any moments that you had with him that you'd like to share with the listeners that didn't really ever get to know him?
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is, you know, like, as we all go through the stages of hip-hop, I think we've all evolved, you know, some maybe have digressed, I don't know, but I've seen the stages go where, you know, at one point we were all kids trying to, you know, be like our heroes. And at another point in our career, we were artists who got comfortable with who we were. And then more later in some of our careers, we were artists who were about pushing boundaries. And I saw an evolution in his career, obviously, as we all did. And just building, you know, having a chance to sit down with Abilities for lunch and talk about stuff, or, you know, being on the same stage with Idea every day, sitting back, me, him, and Lucky I Am, or whatever, just talking or having a drink. Like, I got a feeling that this was an evolution in process. You know what I mean? Like, he was going somewhere. And when I, you know, I'm down with Alchemist, and I'm down with a lot of people who were all different. We all are under the same hip-hop umbrella, but we all, you know, focus on different aspects of it. So to literally to drive from Los Angeles to San Francisco and like, yo, Alchemist, we're about to listen to the new ENA record right now. You know what I mean? And he'd never even heard of it. You know what I mean? So to see his reaction on this music was crazy to me. Like, we were laughing, dying. He was impressed. Like, there was all this emotion going up and down. But when we watched, I was like, you got to watch the show, you know? And it was really like, he was up there for himself, for what he believed in, not conforming. And, you know, anybody who's a leader of a movement, it's got my utmost respect. And it really felt to me like when I vibed with him as a person, watched him perform, this guy was a leader. And anytime we lose a leader, it's just sad, because these are the people we look to in times when things aren't all right, or when things are great. And I'm not going to sit here and preach and tell you all about Idea, because you know about him so much more than I do. But just as an artist, to say that if it affected me, I can imagine how it's affecting others. And I'm going to carry it on for whatever I can.
Very well said, man. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Evan. We appreciate you calling in, brother.
Nah, man, it's, you know, it's the least I could do, man. And like I said, man, my heart goes out to y'all for real. Like, death is not something that fits well with me in my life. You know, I lost my mother and I lost a lot of good friends at a young age. It's something that's it's very uneasy, as it is for all of us. But just lending my support, man. If there's anything I can do, I'm here.
All right, brother.
Yeah.
Peace, man.
Stay safe, man.
So, all right, I'm going to pick it back up, because I'm trying not to have to bust out this box of tissue.
We still got Ali on
the phone,
Ali,
you still
right?
on the phone?
Yeah, man.
All right, I'm just making sure you're there. Chime in when you want. We got a guest that stopped by that passed me a note that I've got to read. And I think everybody's going to get a laugh out of this, because I think I completely forgot that that's when it actually happened. But Jen from the Groove Garden stopped by. Hi, Jen. And for those that don't know, if you've been listening to us for years, Groove Garden was the show that was before our show on Saturdays. And Jen's always been very supportive of the local music scene. She started a label called Groove Garden Records and always supported us when we were coming up. And she gave me a note that said, I'll never forget the night Mikey was freestyling on the Groove Garden live from First Avenue when he chipped his tooth on the mic.
Oh, that's right.
So for all those wondering where Mikey got the chipped tooth smile from.
Got it from Jen.
He got it from Groove Garden live at First Avenue.
Oh.
And she said he just kept on going and rhyming about it. I always wanted to get that fixed for him. You know, I think he grew to love it. I think it became part of him, and he grew to love it. So
Yo, you and that, see that scene in the Smile video?
Yeah,
where
yeah.
he like grabs, he like puts his fingers on the sides of his mouth and just like pulls the smile up.
Yep.
That's the scene that like, obviously that song in general is so great, but like that scene, like every time it hits that part,
boom,
it's like yo, that's it. It's a wrap.
Jen, that Groove Garden show where he chipped his tooth, was that the Christmas show? Okay, I asked just because I remember at the Christmas show, the Groove Garden, I'm pretty sure it was the Groove Garden Christmas show, he climbed inside of a sack dressed up as an elf.
That's right.
And I climbed the stairs holding the sack over my back like I was strong or something, right? I mean, if you look at pictures of me from back then, I was a skinny little dude, and somehow I managed to get up the steps dressed up as Santa and set down the sack and start rapping, and then he popped out of the sack and started rapping. It's very humbling to think about that.
Yeah.
Like, man. I'm saying, and I'm just saying, the drive that requires you to not just trust your fellow performer, but to climb into a bag and let him carry you up some stairs. You're trusting your life with this dude right now. Yeah. Like oh my goodness.
Yeah, for those that,
and he popped out of the sack and started rapping. Oh my goodness, man. Oh man.
For those that aren't familiar, the records he did with Savior, that featured Slug, Idea and Soul, that Anomaly produced on the Veritas Volume 1, and then also Monster Inside, which was on Anomaly's album Howl's Book. And what are we gonna do? We're never gonna get to all the music that we have. I mean, we could play something from there, we could move
I mean,
on. There's so much music and memories. So
I think playing Technique from him and Abilities was the best of like those three that are documented.
Sure.
Just because it really showcased him and Abilities together.
You know, I do have a record that was an unreleased demo, Sixth Sense demo.
Well, why don't you play it? Play that.
That people probably haven't heard.
I mean, y'all got to get to Days Become Years, Memories Become Lifetimes. What's the name of that joint?
That off of Firstborn?
Was that on Firstborn? I know it was like very, very early, like when I first met him. That was his jam.
It's on which?
That was his
album, the Sixth Sense thing.
I don't know
what it's on the
B side. You sure it wasn't also? Let me try and pull it up. All right, so let's do that. We're gonna play. Let me see. Hold on.
Coming up on the hour, Sadiq is looking for a song in his iTunes. We got a room full of people here that love Mikey.
Should I read a memory from a fan while we...
Yeah, Leif, why don't you do that?
All right, first of all, I just want to
say... Let me know who it is and where it came from.
Thank you for having me here, guys. It's an honor. As a OG Idea fan, I like to think. We've been taking Facebook, Twitter, email quotes from fans all around the world. This one I saw this morning when I woke up, and it just hit me. From Sergeant Michael Freeberg in the Marine Corps right now. He's from Minnesota. I'm an active duty Marine originally from Minnesota, and when I was deployed to Iraq, I wrote Mike a message on MySpace just to tell him how much I appreciate his talent and music. Not expecting a reply back, I disregarded it and didn't check my account for a while. I was wrong. Mike wrote me a prompt reply, answering a question regarding the first song I heard of his, Even Shadows Have Shadows, which to this day is still one of my favorite pieces of work. He also asked me how I was holding up in Iraq, how my family is handling it. I never met him, but the fact that someone of his caliber and talent took the time out of his day to respond to his fans speaks volumes of his character and devotion. There's a little more, but man, I mean, I think everybody in this room, as a fan myself, when fans reach out to an artist, they don't always expect to reply back, and to get any acknowledgement, especially a personal response about your family, I mean, that just means the world, you know?
For sure.
And just knowing that dude, I can say that he meant that when he asked how your family was doing. He wasn't just saying that just to,
that was him.
He truly wanted to know,
genuinely cared about how people were. When he said that to you, he really truly meant it. All right, we're gonna do this real quick. Let's do this is a unreleased from the Sixth Sense demo called "It Ain't All Good."
Positive, but it's obvious, regardless of your promises, you gotta live the probably. It's no way I'll always be a candle, cause on a cold day, I need a warm place to stand to. A revision lets me know it's past my bedtime as long as I'm living. I got a fair chance to get mine, only a week until the deadline. And I've been through a whole library of words, trying to make tail and head rhyme. I'm just another voice confined to your background, but when I stood up, they sat down. Who got the last laugh? Now let's push the manhood. Can't look back at when I hand shook. I stand on a blank book, forgotten and rotten with the canned goods. They won't lend you a shoulder. They think leaning's for wimps. I learned that as you get older, don't exactly get simpler. I'm breathing the germs. I'm teaching to learn. It'll be me and my mic until this dream is adjourned. Everybody has their troubles. If it's life, then it's a struggle. And I just wanted to set a small light, cause it ain't all good. It ain't all good. But it's all good enough, so I'ma be alright. Alright, I know it's hard to keep on striving when you only feel like crying. But I just wanted to set a small light, cause it ain't all good. It ain't all good. But it's all good enough, so we gon' be alright. Alright. Everyone's got issues. Don't be pissed if I dismiss you. Miss this is serious. Happiness slips through my fingertips too quick, and I wish you would quit resisting the system and insisting you send a missile to my sister. If this issue, if you keep whittling on the same piece of wood, one day it'll be gone. And I've been stabbing my palms for the last 10 songs. If my passion's strong, won't be lasting long, cause I'm crafting lines without a mind to cast them on. See, put my emotions in alphabetical order. I looked at the ocean and saw nothing but water. I needed to use the phone and didn't have a quarter, but thanks to my devotion, I was able to motion forward. When you're out in the open, you can still feel cornered, haunted by the ghost in the depths of your soul's orchard. Don't know where I'm going, but I'm ahead for the border. All I need is my close friends and a few supporters. Everybody has their troubles. If it's life, then it's a struggle. And I just wanted to shed a small light, cause it ain't all good. It ain't all good. But it's all good enough, so I'ma be alright. Alright, I know it's hard to keep on striving when you only feel like crying. But I just wanted to shed a small light, cause it ain't all good. It ain't all good. But it's all good enough, so you gon' be alright. Alright. People show no sympathy to your problems, cause they think it'll never happen to them. They're living in a fairy tale quite magical, cause when reality hits them, they got the nerve to complain like they're the only ones in the universe it ever happened to. Haven't you ever looked around and felt the frowns? I smile now cause I know how to look up when I'm down. But it's hard to live in a rainstorm and pretend it's sunny. The clouds and depression are the foundation of our country. I scream revolution in attempts to make a difference. I see no solution to the sickness outside of listen. Your eyes is listen. My decision was to use my imagination to obstruct the view of the casket that's awaiting. So in my notebook there's a riddle, and as I write it I giggle in sorrow, reflecting a painful grin. But don't think I'm laughing at you.
I ain't laughing at you.
The world's laughing at you, and I'm just laughing at them.
Just laughing at them.
I'm just laughing at them.
Just laughing at
and
them.
And I'm just laughing at them.
Just laughing at them.
I'm just laughing at them.
Just laughing at them.
Just laughing
everybody
at them.
Everybody has their troubles. If it's life, then it's a struggle. And I just wanted to shed a small light, cause it ain't all good.
It ain't all good.
But it's all good enough, so I'm gonna be alright. Alright, I know it's hard to keep on striving when you only feel like crying. But I just wanted to shed a small light, cause it ain't all good.
It ain't all good.
But it's all good enough, so we gon' be alright. And he gon' be alright. And she gon' be alright. And that's gon' be alright. And I'ma be alright. My mom's gon' be alright. My pops gon' be alright. We all gon' be alright. The world gon' be alright. My girl gon' be alright. And he gon' be alright. And they gon' be alright. And we gon' be alright. Let's all just be alright. We all just be alright. Say it's gon' be alright. And we gon' be alright. Alright, alright.
We gon' be alright, you gon' be alright. Man, I remember that song. Remember that from the shows, 7th Street Entry. I think he even did this at Scribble once.
Yeah, he performed it a few times. Like, a lot of the songs on the Sixth Sense demo.
I used to do backups to this one. Yeah,
he played, but...
Oh, I have a version. You're doing that. I think I do have a...
But he was like, that stuff is too... That song is whack. I'm on this new stuff. Mikey was always the type of artist that
hated what he did, like, immediately after he finished it and put it out for himself.
Yeah.
And was like, I've got to go somewhere else.
I mean, I think that was just, you know, part of his way of pushing himself on to the next, you know.
But while he was doing it, you couldn't tell him no different. That was the hottest. That was the hottest whatever was out right then.
Yeah.
I believe we got a couple of callers on. We got Ali back in there, and I believe we got Psalm also on the phone.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, Psalm?
How you doing?
What's up, Psalm?
Hey, how's everybody doing over there?
You know, we all together. We all together right now.
I'm glad to hear that.
Did you have any sort of memories or anecdotes or anything that you would like to share with us and the listeners who might not have had the chance to meet Mikey?
Oh, man, of course. Like, the first time I ever played in Minneapolis was for the Oliver Hart release party.
Aha, uh-huh, right on.
And I remember I played at Dinky Towner with Pugsley Adams. And Overflow, we had all driven up, and it was like the dead of winter, and it was the first time I was ever in Minneapolis. And I remember he came in and everybody was all excited. And he asked me if I rapped, and I said, yeah. And I just remember he was just like, it doesn't matter that you're a girl. And that's like pretty much all he said to me until like years later. And then years later, I saw him in the Rhymesayers office after Frequent Flyer starting to get underway, and he asked me if I knew how to warm up my voice right, because for some reason he had heard that I was having trouble with my voice and just the strength of it getting the power out. And he gave me like just all these tips and gave me books to read and all this stuff. And I remember asking him how old he was, because he just sounded like so knowledgeable. And I was like blown. I was just blown to know he, like, you know, saying like he was younger than me. So it just kind of blew me. And the battle scene, I'd already knew about the battle scene sort of thing, but for me, he was just really concerned. He seemed really concerned with making sure that I did my warm-ups every day. And the last time I saw him was in August for a show in Chicago. And we stood in the back of Bottom Lounge and just, like, did opera notes for, like, half an hour before he went on stage.
Did you do your vowels?
We did vowels, yeah.
Your motorcycles?
Motorcycles.
He had me on that too, man. I still do all the little noises that he taught me to do.
I still use
those. Me too. So, I'm sad, and man, I'm out here. I'm out here in New York, but I got the news out here, and I was just happy that I was around family, and I'm just sending all my love to all of y'all, the label family that knew him longer than I did. You know, I feel like I was just getting to know him. And I only crossed paths with him a couple times, but I always had a great memory of that. And, just sending y'all love.
Well, thank you very much for calling in, Psalm. It means a lot to us.
Yeah, man. Y'all take it easy. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Psalm.
Stay safe out there.
Peace.
So, yeah, hey, Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's on Firstborn. You're talking about Void. External theory.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, I better say a little something, because I'm actually in Colorado and I got to do this show.
Okay.
But when I met him, he actually is the first one that I heard about. Because, you know, being from the north side and you guys all being from the south side, and I wasn't a, you know, around that time that we met, the years leading up to that, like, I was in the mosque so heavy and working and stuff. I've never really been a person to go out. But the first time that I heard about all of you all was from this older brother. He was probably almost 40 then. He was from Gary, and he was like one of those people that all in the 80s, he was one of those guys that just really loved and lived and ate and breathed hip hop. This brother named Rasul, who I worked with him at UPS. And when I met him, I was real mad at rap. Like, it was like, you know, 97, and I was just like, man, what is going on, man? And he was like, no, do you know about the Rhymes? Like, you know about Rhymes Fairs? And I was like, no. He was like, yeah, you know, they're from here and they're doing their thing and everything. But he's like, I'll never forget it. The way he said it, he was like, bro, they got this little white boy, bro. He's just the coldest thing you ever heard. He was like, yo, he's a perfect freestyler. Like, he's like the only person I've ever heard freestyle. Never say the same thing twice. Never stumble. Never be off. You know what I mean? And so me and him went to a show and saw all of y'all for the first time. And it was one of the sound sets at when it was at First Ave. And just like, man, we left and me and him was just like so blown away by Mikey. And then when I finally got to meet him, you know, we were ciphering, and he used to carry this tape recorder around and just talking to it. Like, he would be in public walking and talking and like narrating stories and making jokes and into this tape recorder and like freestyling and like talk, having a conversation with the tape recorder. And so, you know, me and him, we did the cypher thing for a little while and all that stuff. And he was like, yo, you should really come to my crib, man, so we can really talk. And, you know, I would go to his house, and he was still in high school. And I was like, you know, considered myself grown and had a, you know, job and a kid and all this stuff. And, you know, I would sit at his crib and just, like, listen to him talk about just all of this stuff for hours at a time. And, like, I really looked up to him in a lot of ways. And you know, we do our thing or whatever, and he was always like, man, he was like, people just need to hear you. He's like, I always like say that, like, in his young years, it seemed like he was arrogant, but he wasn't. He just believed so much that you could do whatever was in your brain. If you could see something in your mind, then you could make that real. And he was like, you know, if that's why you always need to expand your mind, because something, an idea starts in your brain, and then when he was explaining his name, an idea starts as something in your mind that you get from somewhere out in the world somewhere, and those are the things that become real, and you work on your craft to make what you see in your brain a reality. And he was like, man, people just need to hear you, and you can do anything in this world that you want to do. And you know, so he was the king of the battle thing. Like, nobody ever, in my mind, and this is not just because he's my friend, man, but I really think that nobody did off the head battling like him. Nobody. Nobody was as complex as him. Nobody was truly as unwritten and unscripted as him. Nobody was really in the moment the way that he was. And in freestyling in general, but he was a king. Like, he beat everybody, and he was just winning everything. And you know, I was like, I'm gonna go to Scribble Jam. And so he brought me, I rode with him and his grandparents and his mom, and, you know, just a bunch of random people that just wanted to go. And I didn't have any money. They didn't charge me anything. You know, they let me sleep in their room. And he went back to win again. And he was like, yeah, you know, he had his little jokes, you know, you can roll or whatever, but, you know, I'm winning. Like, yeah, you're going to have fun if you want to watch me win from up close. And me and him just spent the whole, like, probably 2 weeks leading up to that. We just battled nonstop. We would battle. I mean, we would walk in public and, like, see random people, and we would both just battle this person that was, like, walking out of Starbucks or something like that. And we would just destroy this person to each other, like, take turns, you know, battling this person. And so we get there, and they thought it would be funny to have me battle him, to have us battle. Like, you know, it'd be interesting, like, these guys are from the same crew, to have me battle him. And they, clearly everybody knew that he was going to win, but it would just be part of the story of him winning. But they ran out of time. And so, you know, it ended up being that we only got one round, which isn't how it ever happened. He went first, I went second, and this is a battle that we had a million times already, you know what I mean? And so I remember when it was over, I didn't know that it was only one round. And such a sore subject, like, at that time, was the fact that my Rites of Passage tape was out, but his Firstborn album wasn't out yet. Because mine was just a tape. Mine was kind of like a, you know, like a side thing or whatever, but his was his real album. So everybody was like, no, this is your album, get it perfect. So when that came up, like, at the end of the, I said that line to him, you know, he said, you know, you look like an albino 8, you only sold two copies of your new tape. So I I didn't want to go there, but I could tell that he had felt bad that he had brought that albino thing up. And so I was like, all right, so I, you know, you told me my thing, at least I got something out, you know. And like just the way we looked at each other, man, and somebody sent me the footage of that battle the other day. I hadn't watched it in a long, long time. And then at the end, I thought there was going to be another round. So I was like, I'm sorry, Mikey. I was like, yo, what's going to come next is me wishing that I did not even come here. Like, this is about to be really bad. Because, yo, there were times where, like, when his competitive spirit came out, he loved you, but he was trying to be the best. And I mean, there were times where I would be scared to freestyle with him because he was so good and, like, his energy was just so magnetic and, like, he was so present in the moment that he clearly, like, really just did not need anything at all to set him off or to inspire him. Like, he was so energetic and electric, man, at all times, was never off, never wasn't on like that. And so I was like, yo, this is my first time. This is going to be, I remember thinking, yo, this is going to be on video and he's about to destroy me. And this is going to be everybody's first time seeing me is him just murdering me. So I apologized to him. I was like, yo, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry that I said that. Cause that was our sore subject. And I didn't realize that that was it, but he knew that. And he just ran over and he hugged me and he was like, you won. He was like, you beat me, man. You won. Now you have to win. And I didn't win. And I remember feeling so bad that, like, if I beat him and I won, I knew he would be happy. But Sage ended up beating me.
Yeah, and, that's right.
And
I was mad at you for a while.
Hey, don't go in on Ali for losing to Sage, man. Because I don't know if you remember, but 2 years prior to that, I beat Idea at Scribble.
Yes.
And then ADM beat me.
Yes. But, yeah.
But, man, so we got back to the hotel. And, you know, everybody's like, the whole night I didn't see Mikey after the battle. I don't know where he was. But everybody's just like, yo, who are you? You beat Idea. I can't believe it. Like, that was the first time I ever felt like somebody, you know what I'm saying? And the whole time, like, that feels good, you know. And I get back to the hotel and, like, reality sets in that, like, oh, man, he came here to win. He brought me here. He trained me. And I beat him, and I didn't even win. And
now you got to sleep in his hotel room.
He just smiled at me and was just like, I told you that all you needed was somebody to hear you. And, like, he meant it. Like, he really meant that, man. And, I mean, like, at that time, I was, like, 20 or something like that. And he was, like, 18 or something. Like, he wasn't supposed to be that selfless at for that to be his thing. Like, he didn't have his album out. Battling is what he had for the world to know how great he was. That's all he had in his life at that moment, at that time in his career. And that the fact that, like, he was just happy that I had a moment. You know what I mean? And, man, it just reminds me of, like, every time that I know we all go are, like, it's tough, man, because, like, you go through all these different waves of, like, you know, feeling this thing, man. But just the look that he had on his face, and he was like, yo, I'm proud of you, man. And then the last time I saw him, we were at and this is a happy story, I promise, but we were at Concordia or Augsburg, some college, like, locally, me and him and Brendan, BK1 and Abilities. And this was just like a few months ago. This was like back in the spring. And you know, we all did this show, and I mean, I saw him, I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he's backstage, just like, he's one of the most hilarious people you ever meet. And I remember telling him, like, yo, all these dudes from, like, that crew of dudes that's in, like, you know, the Hangover and all that, like, yo, you could be a comedian of that caliber. And he was like, yo, I've been doing stand-up. And so he did this stand-up routine for me and Max and BK backstage, and it was hilarious. And, like, he got on stage and the audience was just like drunk college kids, and he's saying the most outlandish stuff to them, like, trying to, he's doing his Andy Kaufman thing, like, really trying to just just say just ridiculously weird things to them, and they were responding. And then during our set, we had a really great set, and he ran out during the on stage during the middle of my set. I'm in the middle of a song, and he jumped on my back like a piggyback ride and was just kissing me on top of the head. And I was just like, "Yo, man, what are you doing?" Like, I didn't even see him coming. Like, he almost knocked me down. And he was like, "Yo, man," like he was just hugging me. He was like, "I'm so proud of you. He's so proud." He just kept saying that over and over again. And then I beatboxed for a minute, and he freestyled, and it was just really great, man. And out of all the things that, you know, we all like feel about this person, like, he was just so, he just wanted you to, he wanted everybody to be their best. Just like he did for himself, man. Well, I'm sorry, man. I know they're all supposed to be happy, but
it's all right, man.
Put it out, man.
Well, yeah, sucks being on tour. I wish I was there with you guys, man.
Thanks for sharing the stories, man. That was great.
Yeah. I'm going to go try to rap now.
All right, man.
I love all y'all, man. Talk all right, man.
Love you, too. We're there with you.
We love you back.
All right.
All right, man. All right. We was talking about battle idea. This is something I, like, you know, I obviously kind of preparing for the radio show and reliving memories. I kind of been submersed in his world the last few days, and like I was watching the Scribble Jam battles and being mad that Ali beat him and then he lost to Sage. When he battled Peace, you know, I knew it then, but watching it today in hindsight, I'm so amazed at him, and not his freestyle skills, that he wasn't doing a number two in his pants.
He was confident.
Because Peace was scared. I was scared for him.
Yeah, I'm saying,
and he was standing there not only insulting his idol, one of his idols,
yes,
at the time, but insulting somebody that looked like he was going to tear his head off on top of it.
Yeah.
And he was not even shook.
I remember this. Like, I remember the expression on Peace's face. Like, he couldn't believe it was happening.
And that's what I'm saying. Watching it today, I'm like, looks like he's like, I don't even know why this fool is able to stand in front of me saying what he's saying.
He couldn't.
I know I look like I'm about to kill him.
He could not comprehend it.
I think that, if nothing else, because I think if Idea was more like some more, you know, intimidating figure or something, I don't doubt that there might have been a fight. But I think he was just like,
he couldn't believe it.
What the hell is this?
Like,
but I was just so amazed that that did not shake him.
I remember
nothing in his face, nothing.
I mean, when that went down too, that was really when Idea finally connected with his idols, because after that battle was when they all paid Idea respect, and he was just like, I love this. I love the fact that we can talk like this now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he apologized to Peace.
He was like,
I'm sorry. And he was telling me, but he was like, yo, man, and I was scared. And I was like, no, you wasn't. I saw the footage. He was scared. What are you talking about?
He definitely did not show it in his face or nothing.
And he felt guilty because he was like, I felt bad because I used that bone line.
Oh, he
said he felt bad. Like, he
said a couple lines.
That the bone line?
The bone line, and it was
like, you never,
I gotta say this, you really are alarming me.
What'd you say?
I gotta say it, you really are alarming me. You bit your whole thing from Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Yeah.
Yo. And he was like, he felt bad because he thought that was a low blow.
He said a couple Project Blow sacrilegious lines in that battle. Like,
I mean, that was a low blow. But that's what it took. That's what it took.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. And he didn't say it because he thought that.
Yeah.
He said it because he knew if he said it, he would beat him.
He would get a reaction from
I was like,
when he said that piece of space, and when he said, what happened to, I know you never fall off, I promise.
That
whole thing, like, you know, that
their tagline was like, "We'll never fall off."
The promise. Oh. And he goes, like, "What happened to that line?" Like, he like questioned him on the whole mantra.
Watching that, man, just tripped me out how like rock solid he was at that time. But that's Mikey. Like, when he set his mind to anything, he was going to master
it.
He was
going to do it.
He was going to clearly do it and do it at the highest caliber. And then when he did that, he would put it away and he would move on.
I remember after he kind of got out of all the battling, we all went to Hawaii to do a show, and Bird just reminded me of this. He bought a ukulele. And he promised he was going to learn how to play this ukulele. And I don't even think we was home yet before he already had a couple of things figured out on this ukulele. You know what I mean? And that, and to me, that was like when I knew that rapping ain't going to be enough for this guy. You know, I mean, and look at me. Like, I still ain't learned how to, I mean, I can't even hit blocks on time. You know what I'm saying? This is a kid that went and learned how to play a grip of instruments and learned how to just really, learned how to record music, learned how to, you know, and it was like,
he learned as he was going too. It was crazy. Like, he didn't let it stop him that he didn't know. He did it as he went. Because I remember when he was doing the Firstborn, I mean, not the Firstborn, the Oliver Hart album, because he would hit me up and be like, "Yo, you know, Carnage, you got to come through. I got these beats and you got to hear what I'm doing with my new record." And I'm like, "You making your own beats?" He was like, "Yeah." I was like, "How many times have you done that?" He was like, "Never, but I don't care."
Yeah.
And I go there and he play beats for me. And I'm like, "Dude, you ain't make that. Abilities made that, dude." He's like, "Nah, man, I made this." And he showed me the program.
Yeah.
He showed me how he did it. And I'm just like, dude.
And he had the boom, boom bip, too. Yeah. Like, his beats knocked.
No, you know they did saying? Not. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've been hearing instrumentals all night long. Like, I remember when he made that, you know?
Yeah. I remember him playing a beat for me and saying, I want the snare to sound like Tribe Called Quest. I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "I want it to be so loud it hurts. How come none of the drums have the snares like Tribe Called Quest? I got these beats." I remember one time, my first time getting brave enough to go hang out with any rappers and take my horrible freestyle to anybody's house, as I was with Crescent Moon and Nomi. And we went to Mikey's house and met Ali. It was me and Nomi. Alexi, the Ali and Mikey in a circle, and Mikey's like, "All right, you stand here, and we're gonna do 8 bars, and you just catch on and you just go." And I mean, I still can barely freestyle, but back then I was just awful, and I was just getting just schooled in a circle by everybody I was hanging out with. And Alexi was just like, "No, you're cool, just hang out, it's cool, it's all good." And it was not all good. Like, every time it came to me, I would not only drop the ball, but everybody, Ali would be like, "This, who is your friend?"
Ali is the king of that.
Yeah, this is bright purple puffy jacket Ali.
That's what I'm saying.
And he's looking at Alexi like, "Who did you bring here?" You know what I'm saying? And after it was all done and everybody left, I met Mikey, pulled me aside, and he was like, "You gonna come back next week?" And I was,
he wouldn't give up on you.
Until he said that, I absolutely was not going back next week. You know, and when he said it, and the look on his face was like, "I know you're terrible at rapping right now, but are you coming back next week? Because it was good to have you here." And that whole thing flipped up later on after he kind of changed his idea on what he was going to do with rapping. And he invited me to his studio, and he's like, "Bring some guitars."
Yeah, you play guitar.
Yeah, he's like, come play guitar on this. I got this thing I need you to do. And just, I don't know, man. Most of my interactions with him, you know, he brought me on my first Rhymesayers tour. And we ended up touring together a few times. And all of my really good stuff with him was all brain. I'm a real heavy thinker. I like going into what the world is about and what my brain's about. And he was advanced, man. He was on some, he had enough time being a rap star at a really young age to where he got a chance to think about the world in a way that like a 60-year-old retired guy can sit and reflect on his life. Yeah. And he, you know, he was thinking thoughts and trying to tell me and explain things to me that I'm just now starting to get after this summer, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's impossible really to say too much about it, like getting all shaky.
And to go off of that, the whole, like, you know, he was one of those type of dudes who would tell you, like, you know, if somebody wasn't tight, you know, he wasn't a jerk about it. He'd be like, "Yo, homeboy is a good musician or a good person. He's just a horrible musician. Yeah. Like, he'll just be like, yo, he's whack as hell, but he's cool.
Yeah.
You know? And if you weren't super good, it wasn't like he would like alienate you or shun you. He'd be like, yo, come through and get good.
Yeah.
You know, he you know, he would invite people. And if you were good at something, he was really good at helping bring it out of you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He was just crazy. Cause he would say to me like, yo, Carnage, man, when are you going to do your album? What you going to do with your album? And I had all these excuses. I was like, I ain't got no beats. And he was like, you know, the reason you ain't got a beat that, you know, you ain't got your beats is because you haven't made them. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? I ain't making no damn beats. What are you talking about? I'm trying to rap. He was like, no, you haven't found the perfect beat because you haven't made it. And there's really no excuse for you not having any beats. Like, either go and find somebody who can make the beats you like, or you make them yourself. And when every time I go in the booth and I make a beatbox beat, I think about that now. Because I make these beats now and they're hot. And some of them I don't even want to rap to. You know what I'm saying? But he told me I should, so maybe I should, you know?
Yeah.
You know, that's the kind of guy he is.
He's one of the few people I know that whatever he says going to do, I believed him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Whatever he said, you know, he would say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to learn this, I'm going to play guitar. I'm like, I knew he was going to do it. He was not just saying it. If he said he's going to do it, he did it.
Yeah. I think we got another caller on the phone. You there?
Yeah.
What's up, man? Let the people know who you are.
Oh, it's Lance, a.k.a. Global, Full Circle, Dapo.
What up, Lance?
What's up, man?
What's up,
man?
What's up, fam?
Original Headshots fam.
Yeah, yeah.
Grandma's crew.
Grandma's crew, right, yeah. I was just thinking about Mikey, my fondest memory. I mean, I have a gang of them, but the one I think is the coolest is, had to be like 1994. We was at the little Grandma's crew, but he's over at, I think it was Rainier or Luke's house or one of their friends' house. Over in Highland area, and me and Seth got there. We went there, you know, with drinking and hanging out, whatever. And we started freestyling out by this little pool. The girl had a pool in her backyard or something. So we're sitting there freestyling with me, Gene Pool, Seth, and I think maybe Drugs. And we're just freestyling, and he comes busting in, you know, gets in the cypher. He's like 12 and like a midget. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what the hell? I was like, who is this dude? He just came in the cypher and just started cyphering crazy to where I was like, this dude's out. He's sick with it. You know, he's like 12 years old and shit. I was like, wow. Oof, I can't say.
But I
never.
You ain't say nothing. You ain't say nothing.
Yeah, but you know, so that was just mind blowing. And then like after that, I see him like what, maybe about three years later. After that, we were at Max's little apartment there off Grand, and that's like when Billy just started DJing, and I brought him over some turntables from our old DJ that he wasn't using, so I brought him over to 1200s and dropped them off to him. And then I came back like maybe 3 weeks later, and him and Mikey are down in there getting their whole little thing together, you know. And Billy's just like, man, I'm gonna be fresher than IXL. I'm gonna cut him up. I'm kidding. And I was like, okay, yeah, man, she's a star. You know what I'm saying? And then Mikey's like, yeah, I'm gonna battle Slug. I'm gonna beat him. I was like, oh Lord, you know what I'm saying? Cause we were out here headshots. I was like, oh man, you know, get it in, whatever. And I was like, whoa, dude, he got it in though, you know. So I remember those days, like, wow. And the next thing he's on Rhymesayers. Next thing he's at the Blaze battle. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. I've been watching a lot of that stuff on YouTube. Just brought back a lot of old memories and stuff. And, you know? God bless the dead, that's all I can say. And, you know, much respect and love to the family and Grandma's crew and y'all over there at RSC. And, you know.
We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks for the call. Yeah, thanks for the stories, man.
Yeah. Y'all take care, y'all.
All right, Lance. Peace. Man.
Peace.
Right,
peace.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, I believe we got another caller on the phone. You there, brother?
Yes, indeed. Yo, what's up, man? It's Liv.
What's up, Liv?
Yo, chilling, brother. Chilling, man. We live.
Yep, you on right now.
All right, cool, man. Yeah, I'm just calling up to pay my respects to Idea. You know what I'm saying? I had the honor of touring with brother back in 01. You know, we were together when the planes hit the towers. 9/11, I believe we're in Montreal, and you know, we all, you know, obviously a wide range of emotions on that day. We all decided to continue touring. It was Idea and Abilities, out supporting First Born. It was me out there with Fats One, and it was Cannibal Ox. And, yeah, man, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, you know, the nation was going through an incredibly tough time, and we were on tour, and it was trying for us to be out on the road. And, you know, all that kind of fizzled to the background because, you know, the experience of touring with Idea was just so... so real, because, you know, the dude's sense of humor and his overall wit and energy that he just brought to the team, you know, his chemistry was just, like, infectious, you know what I'm saying? And we just shared a very similar taste, and he and I were both connoisseurs of bad rap music, and we just would on that tour, we just drove around from place to place, just collected albums that we knew and just absolutely terrible, and we would play them in the van and just analyze how whack they were. And you know, sometimes cats were hitting us with demos on the road, and you know, we would listen to them, and you know, he came up, you know, he would say, hey man, sometimes, you know, if it's bad enough, you gotta float it.
So floaters.
My man was yeah, exactly.
Loaders.
My man was talking about rolling down the window and letting it bust up on the highway, you know what I'm saying? So you know, of course, you know, brothers became more conscious and got green later on. But anyway, I'm just saying that, yo, it was just mad fun, you know. And then when we got to Minneapolis, we had a show at First Avenue. We had narrowed it down to just the Prog Ghetto Superstar album, oh, the Champion. That was the one. Like, that was the number one worst record.
I remember that.
Many smashing, you know, those things.
So yeah. When we got on stage, we played a cut off the album, and then we just threw it in a trash bag, son, and just smashed it.
No,
stage.
You actually smashed Prog's album on stage.
Yeah, y'all did it on stage.
I remember.
Yes, indeed, we did.
I just beat the floor up.
So it went down like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, enough respect to Idea for... you know what I'm saying? Just those memories, man. You know, I wish I had more chances to hang out with the brother, man. It, you know, our paths didn't get to, you know, cross often enough. But, you know, the times that they did, especially that tour, that was, you know, just classic memories, man. Just never forgotten. So, you know what I'm saying? Rest in peace, Idea. Thanks for everything that you brought to the earth, not just to the game. You know what I'm saying? And, yo, you're missed, man. It's a devastating loss.
Thank you, man. We appreciate you calling in, brother.
Hey, Liv. Yo, Liv, this bird. Do you remember when we were driving from Champaign and we had this one floater and everybody would try to hit the bridge?
But
yo, Mikey threw the thing up the window, up in the air really high, and it flew back. And I looked behind me and this dude on a motorcycle just swerved like really crazy because it flew up in the air and almost hit him. And he just gave me the finger and we was trying to catch him and we were trying to dodge him all the way to Minneapolis.
Unbelievable. Yeah, we would have been in major trouble. Bird, yo, I have to go back and just add on that you were, of course, the quintessential driving force behind that whole tour, man. I'm sorry for the failure to shout when I was listening off the numbers, man. You led that team.
Hey, man, I bought you a Steven Seagal glossy in L.A. on that tour.
Son, I'm forever thankful. I'm forever thankful for that. That goes without saying. I mean, come on, man. You know me.
I live, man.
I got a copy of Mark for Death right here, right now.
I know you do.
All right, listen.
But yo, fellas, yo, take care, man.
You too, brother, man. We appreciate you calling in. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Couldn't miss it. All right.
Peace. I mean, that's the thing, man. Mikey really touched a lot of people.
So many different ways.
In so many different ways.
I mean, like, even outside of the rap thing in general.
Just in general.
Yeah.
I don't know many people who weren't affected by him in some way that crossed his path.
Right.
Like, I was trying to think about that. Like, you know, because, I mean, how many of us probably have people that probably, like, yeah, I wish I never met that dude even.
Right.
Or just don't even care.
No, right.
I don't know anybody that had that experience with him.
Nah.
You know?
People who didn't know him be saying, yeah, I feel like I know him after meeting him one time.
Leaf, you got another special?
Absolutely. This is a non-rap one, sort of. This is from Catherine Weed, Minneapolis. I'll never forget the first time I met Mike. I was waiting in my car while my friend went into his house to drop something off. I was nervous to meet him. Of course, my friend told him this. Next time I know, he's at my car window, barefoot, cigarette in hand, smiling. He didn't want me to be intimidated. He wanted to be a friend. From then on, he was. And I mean, I didn't know Mikey that long, but man, I can picture that.
Like, yeah.
You know?
I mean, that was him.
Now, when I first moved to Minneapolis, I'm a pretty, like, I don't go out. I'm not really a, you know, I'm a stay-to-myself kind of guy. But he was so, like, the way he would connect with me, he was the only guy I really hung out with. Like, when he first moved there, I would hang out with him all the time, go to his house, and when that was Oliver Hart was dropping, and I would go on the road with him. Just, he didn't even need me on the road, but I would go on, like, different shows in Champaign and Madison and be his DJ and, like, you know, just press play on the CD player. He just wanted me around.
Yeah.
And we would just hang out, and then, like, he helped me just open up as a person. So I was a real kind of introvert, but, like, we'd go out there and after parties, hang out with the girls and all that, and, like, I need Mikey to push me to give me encourage to go talk to people. And he'd be like, he was like a young dude. Like, even like for me, he could be inspiring to do whatever. And so I always been like, he just brought certain things out of me that were there, that were hidden, that he knew how to bring out of me. So I always loved that about him for sure.
Man.
One time in, I think it was Sioux Falls, South Dakota, talking about after parties. Me and Mikey, after a show, this was like the Ford 2 tour. So this is like the year 2000, I think. After a show, there wasn't a whole lot of people left hanging around, but there was this one girl that was just like, what are you guys doing? So she ended up coming back to the hotel with us, but nothing yeah. sleazy. Yeah. You know, it was just kind of like for fun, you know, whatever. Mikey didn't drink at the time, but I drank. But Mikey didn't need to drink. He was just, he was enjoying himself so much that he didn't need to drink, yeah. but not me. I'm sitting there drinking my beers and she is, and Mikey convinced me and her that it would be a great idea for her to get up on the bed and jump on it while Bird was trying to sleep in it. Now, she was about 3 times the size of Bird, for starters. And I got video footage of a sleeping Bird. I swear, I think he just felt just the one first foot that hit the bed. And I can't really show the people who are listening, but he was laying on his stomach and his whole body just turned up and went, nope. Pointing at this girl right at her head. And she's like, no. And Mikey's like, go. And she's just like, starts jumping on the bed. Bird, I wasn't going to bring it up, but he brings it up about once a year. And reminds me of the time that we did that to him.
Dang. Awesome.
See, and the thing is, man, there's so many stories, man. Yeah. There's so many things to share. I just, you know, telling you guys these stories, it's funny. We can laugh,
yeah.
you know, but to me, it's like sometimes I'm like, man, is that only funny in my own head, or is that only cute in my own head? Or is
he had it all, man. Yeah. He, had the funny,
he was a character.
A little broken tooth smile,
yeah.
acting like a clown, man.
So we got just a little over 15 minutes left, and I should have known we weren't even going to be able to get too much music. But I real quick, before we get too close to the top of the hour, I want to let people know to log on to rhymesayers.com/idea, and there's a page there with a lot of quotes from a lot of people, peers, family, loved ones, friends. Check that out. And as well as a bunch of his music, a bunch of his, you know, photos and videos and of a lot of the things and the moments that we're talking about tonight. So check that out. It also has all the information for the public wake that'll be happening on October 28th, Thursday. And also has the information for a celebration that we're throwing on Mikey's birthday, November 9th. At First Avenue. So, and there will be limited tickets available for that. But we hope to see everybody come out and celebrate the life of Mikey with us.
Those limited tickets are going to be available at the Fifth Element?
Monday at 5 p.m. Monday at 5 p.m. Tickets will go on sale for that. And like I said, there's a lot of information. So just log on to rhymesayers.com/idea. And all that information is there.
And
so,
you know, I want to drop this, you know, if you go to citypages.com, their blog, and go and check out the Gimme Noise section, there is also a page there with other quotes from other people around the city, too. That it was a pretty beautiful page. I looked at it, yeah. and I was moved by that one, too, and I just kind of wanted to plug that if people really wanted to kind of get into the minds of the people that Mikey has touched, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
That shoe photo is awesome. The shoes photo.
Yeah. Yeah. Only him.
That
go to that.
Only him. What do you guys want to do? Is this some music? Where do you want to go with it? You
know, this one time in Copenhagen. He convinced me to play the shell game with a couple of thugs. Do you know the shell game I'm talking about? Where you try to figure out where the
freak.
So our first time going over to Europe, we go over there for one show. It was for Aarhus took it, and that was in Denmark. We had to go to Copenhagen for a connection to catch a flight, and we had like 6 hours to kill. So Max hung out at the airport and took a nap. Me and Mikey hop on a train and go into the city because we ain't never been to Copenhagen before. We both got probably like $10 between us left at this point. Not much money. Yeah, and he convinced me that what we should do with our remaining money is to try and make it a come up on the shell game. Like, I got this. We could do this, you know. So we went and we lost the rest of our money on the shell game in Copenhagen. Man, it's just little things like that.
Man, what didn't this dude do, man? He was a magician.
Y'all
remember that little stage?
That whole phase of his life when
he taught my daughter like little magic.
That dude could tell you magic. Who writes for David Blaine, like who helps David Blaine come up with. He would sit in the studio. He engineered the first Lost Now record, and every time we go over there, it'd be a new trick. So he's like, dude, I figured out how he does that levitation. So like he'd be like, no, for real, no, but you got to stand right there so you can watch how I do this levitation. And he would anything he thought he had it all under control. Like he was trying to figure out how to do tricks, trying to figure out how to play the guitar. And engineer our record all at the same time.
Man, he built a studio.
He built that by himself.
Self-taught, man.
Yeah, everything.
I remember I met him. He was breakdancing at Hamlin, you know, because I went to school there, and it was him and a bunch of kids were in the hallway, and I came in there, and I was like, you know, just messing with him, like, what are you little 12-year-old kids doing in my school hallway? He was like, we can do that because we B-boys. And I didn't know him. He was probably like 13, you know, and then I seen him at the big sound set event that y'all was talking about, the one that they stayed all night for, because I was probably one of the only ones that stayed all night too. And I remember staying. They were like, man, you need to stay and watch this one dude. And then he comes in, I was like, that's the dude that was at Hamlin breakdancing. And he got on stage and he performed, and I was like, dude, you're like 14. And he was just killing it. He was up there with Glow, and you know, Glow was pretty, you know, all over the place. But you know, Glow looked like he was sitting down when Idea was on, you know, because Idea was just killing it. And I was just like, man, this dude could do anything, even at a young age. Like, you know, 13, 14 years old, he was just blowing people away, whatever he did.
Yeah.
At that first Hip Hop Olympics, we had the B-Boy battle, and none of us knew he rapped at that time. And then all of a sudden, he just grabs the mic and puts himself in the battle. And then I remember both me and you were just like, who is it? Because you were hosting.
Yeah.
Who is this little dude?
Was that the hole?
Yeah. He turned his back to the crowd and was like, and man, I'm telling you, both of us looked at each other like, he's going to win. Unfortunately, some dudes tried to fight, so it squashed the whole battle. But it was like, at that particular moment, it was like, all right, we're going, one way or another, we're messing with this.
You know, something else that I think that should be said, especially while we're, you know, like discussing how much we love this dude and how much he meant to us. When you became part of Mikey's family, like when you became part of his crew, his circle, he also brought with him three other people, his mother, his grandmother, and his grandfather. And they all joined our family. You know what I'm saying? Like that was another thing that was very impressive about him is that, you know, I never brought my mom around to, you know, it's like you might know one of my siblings because they be drinking at the bar too. You know, but Mikey introduced his family to his family, and we all became one family. Yeah. You know,
he could have brought his dog. Remember Sasha?
Yep. Sasha.
If he could have brought Sasha, you know what? He would have brought Sasha too.
Sasha could have slept on Dibs's floor at Scribble.
Yeah, I remember that too.
That fool used to sit around kissing that damn
dog. He would kiss him right in the mouth. Yo, it was like, what? And he didn't care.
He would sit around kissing that damn dog in the mouth. I mean, like, what are you doing?
He would drool.
Drool. And you know what? I'll tell you something. Man. I guarantee you the inside of Sasha's mouth is cleaner than some of the girls I've kissed on the road.
I'm sure.
You're right.
And I'm sure he studied that and knew it.
He knew
it. And that's
exactly
why he could do it.
Exactly.
He had unknown knowledge to us he possessed.
Exactly. And to keep going on. And weightlifting and all kinds of crazy stuff that dude, man.
And to keep going on the stuff that wasn't rap related, you know,
when he brought you into his circle rap wise, then he brought you into his circle completely.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
when he hit you up, he'd be like, he genuinely, like y'all were saying earlier, he wanted to know how you were doing when he asked you what was going on.
Yeah.
And he would ask me and I would say stuff like, I'm cool. And he'd be like, nah, but what's like really going on? How are your kids and how are things at the crib and all of this? And I remember when I lost my house, you know, and I was homeless for like 2 weeks, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, I went and applied for this apartment over in St. Louis Park, and they were like, you know, your credit is kind of bad. You know, you need somebody with a 700 and, you know, 650 credit to, like, co-sign for you. And I was like, okay, I called this one girl. She was like, nah, I can't do it. Called this one girl. Nah, she can't do it. And then I was like, I'm going to call Idea's mom. I called her, and she was like, why don't you just ask him? And I'm like, him? You know, what? And she was like, no, he has, like, real estate. He has, like, he owns stuff. And I was like, I didn't even really know that, because I know he had talked about owning stuff, but I didn't know he actually did. But this is, again, one of those things that he actually said he was going to do when he did it. Yeah. So I hit him up, and I'm talking to him on the phone. I was like, man, I got a big favor, man. You know, stuff is happening right now, you know, and I just, you know, I need somebody to cope. And before I could even get it out of my mouth, he was like, oh, I got great credit. My credit is 7 something, something, something. When do you need it? And I was like, are you serious? And he was like, yeah, you know, because I know you're going to take care of it. I know that you are not going to mess it up. And I got your back. When do I need to be there? Where do I need to go? And that's how he was. He showed up, you know, with his pack of cigarettes in his hand, and he signed the lease, gave me both sets of keys, and walked out the door. And it was just like, so, you know, I live in my apartment now because of him. You know what I'm saying? Nobody else helped me out but him, you know, and that's what he did. He started with rap, and then it went into other areas, and he was able to make that bridge, and he never let you go once he got a hold of you. And that's a beautiful thing about him.
I mean, I feel the same way, not necessarily with the real estate, but just in my early years when I was trying to learn how to do this, along comes this kid who had so much, you know, mental, emotional, as well as physical support for me. You know what I mean? This was a dude that pushed me to better myself and to stay on top of what I'm doing. Even when me and him stopped playing shows together and Max and Mikey, you know, really focused on that entity of ID and Abilities, he was always right there to give me criticisms, to give me whatever it was I needed to grow. You know what I'm saying? To challenge me, to push me. You know what I mean?
You feel like it should be the other way around. You know, you were like the OG in the game.
I mean, I tried to, you know, let one hand wash the other. I tried to give it back to him as well. You know what I mean?
But he already had it. The thing is, he already had it.
That was the one.
He didn't know. He figured it out on the way.
Yeah, you know? that was one of the things that I always will cherish was the type of exchange that I got to have with him. And I think that's how most people who knew him will feel. It wasn't a one-sided thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like there was an exchange there. You shared information. He was always down to share information. He was always down to share knowledge. He was always down to trade that good stuff with you, you know?
And when he found out that there was something in your way as a roadblock to help you get to your potential, he would always try to be right there to make sure that wasn't a roadblock. I remember when he decided to take us on a leave of absence tour, and then he found out that I played the drums. He's like, you need to do that live. And I'm like,
he encouraged you.
Well, I rap and play the drums at the same time. He's like, I don't know how you make it work, but it'd be fresh. And I'm like, well, man, I you know, I don't have a drum set right now. And I get this phone call, like, dude, on my guitar. I mean, I'm at Music Go Round. There's a $300 drum set. You want it? And I'm like, I guess, you know what I'm saying? And that fool bought that drum set and made me take it on the road. And the very first night in Seattle, him and Abilities were like calling my name in the middle of their set and got up there and played the drums with them. And they freestyled. And for the rest of the tour, that was how we did it every night.
Lee, if you got one more quote.
One more quote. This one's kind of about show idea. Chris from Louisiana or Texas. I couldn't figure it out. I first met and saw Idea perform Halloween Weekend 2000 for the Ford One Part 2 tour, the Ford 2 tour, in Dallas almost 10 years ago. My girlfriend, now wife, and I drove 8 hours from Louisiana to see Atmosphere and ENA off the strength of Overcast and a few headshot tapes. We walked into the Liquid Lounge, not even knowing who was who, without faces to put to these names and voices. I sat right by the merch table while Abilities flipped through a graph mag. I soon realized that Idea was the kid behind the merch table. Some other heads were asking Idea to record a message on their answering machine, not a cell phone, a bulky home phone answering machine. He eagerly obliged with a smile. I purchased a VHS copy of the 99 Scribble Jam video and asked if he would sign it. I will never forget the enthusiasm and eagerness he had as if he was shocked someone would even care to ask. It reads, only cheaters win, idea.
No.
Yeah.
All right, so we got just barely over 5 minutes left. I want to thank everybody for coming down. Anybody want to share any last words before we get out of here?
We could. But,
yeah. I know we've been sharing all night, but... You know.
When I moved to Minneapolis and I drove up on 22nd and Garfield in a truck with 80 boxes of records to move up 3 flights of stairs, he was the one dude sitting there in a car waiting for me when I pulled up.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, man, when you have 80 boxes of records, a lot of people that are your friends are no longer your friends.
Bird, I was not there.
I wasn't there
I love
either.
You, but I was not there.
I didn't know you, but I wouldn't have been there.
Yeah, so that's how he was, man.
Yeah.
I just wanna say that hopefully him and Cess are together right now,
yeah,
freestyling, because I know that's what they would love to be doing.
Mm. For sure.
The best freestyler in ever lived, idea. One of the
Hello?
Best people that ever lived.
Grouch, I believe we got one more caller on the line real quick before we get out of here. Grouch, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, man. We just getting ready to wrap up. We wanted to get you in here and get you a chance to share a fond memory of our brother, idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I just got one memory, but what I wanted to say was, first of all, condolences to all his family and all his friends. It's a big loss to our hip-hop community, our underground family, and I really loved Idea. And some of the most memorable moments I had with him were when I toured. I don't know. I don't know the exact date or anything, but it had to be close to like 10 years ago with the Living Legends. You know, we went on tour with Idea and Abilities. And before that, I hadn't really known them that much. And, you know, Living Legends was pretty popular back then. So we had, you know, our egos in full swing and our little momentum was rolling and everything, and here Idea and Abilities, these two young guys from Minneapolis, ended up on our bus with us, and I didn't really know too much about them beforehand, except that Idea had won that Blaze battle and everything, and they joined the bus, and like immediately after joining the bus, they were just like part of the gang, and they were totally, you know, Idea just had this confidence about them, and I was like, at first, I was a little thrown off because I was like, how is this young dude so confident and adamant about how dope he is and all this? He was very opinionated and stuff. And I'm sorry, I got my daughter in the back talking about being hungry and everything. But yeah, basically, I quickly learned, you know, from these young guys, that it was just like the confidence that he had was so pure, and I quickly saw why he had that confidence, because he was such a talented performer and a talented artist and a smart guy, period. And I just remember having great conversations with him. I remember anything that he got interested in, he was very, you know, he went all the way with it, and he like studied it. And one of the main things that we used to talk about was equipment. And, you know, back then we were all searching for how we could make a bigger sound out of, you know, the underground sound was kind of dirty, and all this digital equipment had just been available to like set up studios, Pro Tools in your house and everything like that. And so we were all searching for how could we make our vocals as big as possible. And I remember he just really got into that, and he really started studying analog equipment and versus like, you know, solid state. I mean, if you're not into equipment, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but there's vintage tube equipment and microphones with tubes and compressors and all this stuff that he got into, and we would
go back and forth and talk about what the best pieces are. And I don't know, he just really had me on my toes and had me looking deep at things. And, you know, plus coming from the Rhymesayers background, he really had his business together. And we were older, and I thought that, you know, we were hot shit at the time. But he showed me a lot of things about having my business together. He, you know, we were on this Living Legends tour, and we were sleeping in crappy hotels. And he was like, hold up, guys, I don't sleep in hotels like this, you know. You need to get on the hot wire ahead of time and book these better hotels. And, you know, you need to have this kind of standard. And I was like, whoa, little dude, you know what I mean? You're really right about that, you know. And so to this day, he's the one who showed me about getting dope hotels on Hotwire, and I just swear by it all the time. So when anybody puts me in a crappy hotel, I'm like, no way, you know. Go on Hotwire, get me some kind of respectable spot to lay my head. You know, it's not going to cost that much money, and you know, he's the one who showed me that. And I was kind of deep into the game already at that point, and so there's a whole bunch of stuff like that. He shared with me, and I actually just ended up learning a lot from him and Mac on that tour. And so, I don't know. I just have fond memories of those guys, both of them. You know, I wish he was still around. And I don't know. But yeah, very smart guy, funny guy. And I'll miss him for sure.
Grouch, man. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah.
All right, man.
Thanks for having me on here.
Tell the family we said hello.
Yeah, and I also want to say I met his mother more than a few times, and that's the last thing I want to say was that she was so proud of him, and he was so proud of her and, proud of what he had accomplished. And for her to see him doing what he was doing as a young man, it was just a special bond that they had, and I could tell by watching them and meeting them. And, yeah, I don't know. I can't concentrate all the way. My daughter really wants me to give her some attention right now. But
yeah, you did it.
You know, I wanted to call in because it was important to me, and he was a very cool guy. And like I said, I'll miss him, and I know everybody else will too.
All right. Thanks, Grouch, man. Thank you for calling in.
All right, you guys. Thank you for having me.
All right, man. Peace.
Peace.
All right. Peace.
All right. So we ran a little bit over here, and we obviously have to get out of here. So real quick, I just want to say, once again, please log on to rhymesayers.com/idea. And so you can get all the information on both the public wake going down October 28th, Thursday, and also the celebration happening at First Avenue on November 9th. And and just some additional fond memories of our dear friend. Also, before we go, I want to send a lot of love and support out to Kathy, Mikey's mother.
Grandma, grandpa.
Dick and Peggy, which are his grandparents. And if you ever saw three people that maybe didn't look like they were supposed to be at the hip hop show with Mikey, that was probably mom and grandpa and grandma. So a lot of love to them. And please take the time to go listen to Mikey's music. And I don't mean just... you know, if you were only into the hip-hop stuff, take a listen to Carbon Carousel. Take a listen to Face Candy. Take a listen to all the other bands that Mikey was a part of and the music that he put out to the world. And likewise, the other way, if you only know him through Carbon Carousel, go listen to Firstborn. Go listen to some of his battle footage. I think he would have liked it that way. And just, you know, take the time, because here's somebody that was standing
somebody with that was standing right next to me. And I think that I'm still realizing how special he was. All right, that's it.
Thank you, man.
Yes, man. Thanks,
thanks,
man.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Miss you, little homie.
For sure.
When you've never been moved, it's really hard to move on. A young saleswoman sets up shop when the sun sets. She'll make your wildest dreams come true at a price you won't forget. The sad married set up alibis, no harm, no regret. Hoping they meet an angel in bed that could wrestle the devil right out of their heads. The city runs fast, no one has time to sit with themselves. No time to look into our pain or see the same despair. But everyone else is here, it's there, it's everywhere. Tears soak each card the dealers dealt. Time taught me how to see every second is heaven, even though the perfect disguise is hell. And I refuse to let past bruises cover the light. It ain't all good, but it's all good enough, so I know I'm alright. Agony is truth, it's our connection to the living. I accept it as perfection and keep on existing in the now. I can only build if I tear the world down. Even if it breaks me, I won't let it make me frown. I'm falling, but no matter how hard I hit the ground, I'll still smile. I can only build if I tear the walls down. Even if it breaks me, I won't let it make me frown. I'm falling, but no matter how hard I hit the ground, I'll still smile. Ear to ear, as if that's all I'm here for. Despite the wars founded by the rich, funded by the poor. Kids barely 18 are dying, so billionaires can make more. Elsewhere, hungry mothers watch the baby starve to death in a beat-up shack on a dirt floor. The aged professor quotes freedoms without a path. Now he dresses like a widow and preaches love is dead in every class. But curiosity killed the cat and taught the dog and him how to act. And burned his bridge to Jill, so he tries to drown the guilt with a bottle of Jack. Self-proclaimed rebels say we must oppose the system. You gotta take a stand. If you're not against them, you're with them. The science reads, support the troops, bring them. Testing to even listen, and I'm no different. I live in conflict and contradiction. But it can be so beautiful when I don't reject what lies within. It's beautiful the way agony connects us to the living. I think of the world when I hurt and keep on existing in the now.
I can only build if I tear the walls down. Even if it breaks me, I won't let it make me frown. I'm falling, but no matter how hard I hit the ground, I still smile. I can only build if I tear the walls down. Even if it breaks me, I won't let it make me frown. I'm falling, but no matter how hard I hit the ground, I'll still smile. Smile.